put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Oh Brother, Did We Watch That? A podcast where three brothers talk about the movies they used to watch together growing up, but not always in the favorable reasons. As always, I'm Andrew.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Mark.
And we still have our lovely nephew and son here, Alex. So if you hear any noises, still working with us.
Or it's me complaining about watching Roddy Piper trying to act.
It's so funny that he's now here for the second time in a row, because we're talking about two movies he will have no business watching until he's at least 14, 15 years old.
He's your dad. He's going to watch them earlier than that.
You're his daddy.
Yeah. So anyways, today we're doing the 1988 movie directed by John Carpenter called They Live.
Oh, this is quite the gem.
John Carpenter, welcome to the show, because I have a feeling... pretty strong one, too. We will be revisiting you again for Escape from L.A.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, that's an awful movie. That's just a terrible idea of a movie. But anyway, back to this. And all right, so real quick, in the opening credits, there something happens that I now know whenever I see it, I'm going to be worried. Whenever I see music by John Carpenter,
yes.
He's a good director, but he gives shit at these MIDI soundtrack things.
The soundtracks to Escape from New York and Halloween would like a word with you.
Halloween's got that good several note thing, but Escape from New York I don't like at all. He sits there with like a little Casio and presses some keys, and he's like, I'm a composer!
Yeah, we're gonna agree to disagree on that.
He got
like the soundtracks.
He got lucky on Halloween, but this one especially is just so boring.
This came out in the mid-80s when John Carpenter really could do no wrong. I mean, he did The Thing in the 80s.
Assault on Precinct, or was that 13?
That was the 70s. That was before Escape from New York. He did Big Trouble in Little China in the 1980s.
Epic movie.
Epic. If you've never seen Big Trouble in Little China, pause this podcast, go watch Big Trouble in Little China.
You have homework.
Yes.
But this is actually based off a short story. I didn't know that.
Loosely based.
8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning, so at least... the title of this movie is silly, but at least it's not that.
Yeah, I know. It's called They Live instead of 8 o'clock in the morning, but...
Now, going into this movie, I remembered barely anything about this movie. I remember a couple lines here and there. I remember a couple big shootout scenes. But other than that, I didn't remember a single thing that happened in this
movie. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I remember the epic fist fight, which we will talk about in great detail when we get there.
So incredible.
But other than that, and yeah, I remember the chew bubblegum and kick-ass line, and I remember how it ended, but that was pretty much it.
I know this movie, I am in the same boat, but I do own this movie, so...
Oh, I do now.
I haven't watched it in a while until I watched it the other day, and there are some scenes that I was like, okay, this is kind of boring. Okay, this is really good. And there are scenes I could not stop laughing my ass off.
Yeah, and this movie's starring...
Rowdy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, that's right.
Which is the name of the movie you don't know. His name is actually Nada.
As in nothing?
Well, I thought that, but to not get nerdy, in the book, the guy's name is George blah 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 Nada. So it's actually the last guy's name, but it could be Nada meaning nothing as well.
This is Josh interjecting. I never thought that when we started this podcast, I would be the second dorkiest person doing these, but whenever Andrew starts referencing, in the book...
Yes, Nada. Nada from the Latin original, Nadiosis.
Okay, my mother's been quoted to tell me I know weird shit. I enjoy knowing the weird
shit. Is that word
shit.
For word?
Mom said... Andrew,
yes.
You know weird shit.
Before playing Trilly Pursuit, I got a question right, and she says, you know some weird shit, Andrew. Thanks, Mom.
All right,
our mother.
So starring Roddy Piper,
yeah.
The wrestler, so it's not exactly an amazing acting performance. Also starring Keith David, who I love. I don't know if the listeners know who Keith David is by name, but basically, if you've ever seen Armageddon,
yeah.
He's the guy who says, bunch of retards, I wouldn't trust with a potato gun.
And if you want to be disturbed, he's also the guy in Requiem for a Dream, famous for the line of, I didn't just take it out for air, honey.
Yeah, I love the guy. He shows up all over the place, and he's just so much fun. He also does a lot of, I think, Navy ads?
A lot. He's the voice of the Navy.
Yeah, that's right. It is the Navy, yeah.
And, yeah, so he's, like, just a disgruntled guy. Besides that, there's not really a lot of well-known people in this movie. Oh, wait, there is one.
I forgot.
It's Meg Foster, who we know as...
Welcome back to the program, Meg Foster, because she was Evil Lynn in Masters of the Universe.
And I didn't realize that until I looked at her, and I was like, oh my god, of course it's her. She looks identical. Her eyes...
Oh, yeah.
Her figure's just...
But don't expect to see her very soon, because...
No.
All right, we're starting the movie, and...
It starts slow. We're going to skip a lot of it.
Our hero is apparently a...
Homeless guy?
Yeah.
who is from Colorado.
We're basically, the movie starts off and we're in some sort of post-economic collapse.
Yeah.
And the things they say are eerily familiar to the economic collapse of 2008. Like, they say something like,
yeah.
we give them a second chance, we build them out. What do they give themselves? Raises. Like, oh, that's very appropriate. All right, that works.
So he goes into town looking for jobs. And he looks at the wall, because no internet. He's like the Craigslist work of walls. He's nothing. Goes to the person. He's like, oh, yeah, the work dried up. There's no work there, so I'm looking for here. And she's like, sorry, there's no work for you here. Kind of like a bitch. Just like brushed him off.
This movie really starts with like a solid half hour of like unemployment problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for work. He finds a job at a construction yard. Meets up with Keith David.
And he's like, oh, where are you staying tonight? And the guy's like, don't sleep here. And then Keith David, Frank is a character name. He's like, oh, we can come stay at my place. Thinking it's a house. No, it's Shantytown is what it is.
It's Hooverville. It's
yeah.
Hooverville from the Great Depression. Like, it's this, bunch of homeless people have gotten together.
Tents.
They've got some electricity, some running water.
They have a TV.
They do have a TV, I'm assuming, on antenna. But,
I mean, that's really pretty much the first 30 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, so for most of this first 30 minutes, I feel like this is a movie about a touching story about a homeless man who befriends Keith David and learns, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But it certainly doesn't feel like it. Alien movie.
No.
Which, by the way, this is an alien movie.
The cover literally has Roddy Piper taking down his sunglasses and seeing an alien in the reflection.
Yeah.
It's like, where are they? Quick funny story, the entire movie Roddy Piper is wearing a wedding ring, even though his character's not married.
Really?
He's married in real life. He told John Carpenter, I'm not taking my ring off for the scene.
Okay.
I was like,
maybe his wife died.
That's what I assume.
We'll go with that. And then he has this line, though, when Keith David and him are talking about how bad things are.
Yeah.
And he says that, whatever, if I work hard enough, I'll get rewarded eventually. I believe in America. I follow the rules. What movie am I watching right now? This is an alien movie, isn't it, presumably?
And the Frank actor is like, I'm walking a thin white line through life. I don't want to get on their side, they'll get my side. And Roddy Piper's like, that's in the middle of the road. It's dangerous to drive there. So, anyways, they're in this shanty town or Hooverville. They have a TV and they're watching, you know, sports or something. And this guy kind of breaks into it, this hacker. And he just starts talking about, oh, they are everywhere. They're with us. They're making you watch this. They're controlling. The rich get richer and blah, 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 blah.
The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. They have created a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices.
And these guys...
Glenn Beck tunes in, basically.
Pretty much. And this guy's like, oh, man, I'm getting a headache because it keeps getting so...
Yeah, everyone watching the TV is like, I'm getting a headache. Yeah, me too. And then Roddy Piper, who is not going to say he has a headache, just kind of touches his head like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. And then... the guy turns off the TV eventually, this guy who's watching, the old guy, and he says, blow it out your ass. And at that moment, it clicks. I'm like, oh my god, Duke Nukem, the game, has taken so much of their lines from this movie alone. That, there's a couple other lines later, you can tell that they love this movie. I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, you know, they get served dinner, and then Roddy Piper...
Across the street from this Hooverville place is a church.
Yeah.
He keeps hearing, like, he sees the lights are on at, like, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And one of the guys who's kind of, sort of, in charge
he's helping feed them and kind
of... I recognize, but I couldn't figure out where I knew him from. And I looked him up. You know him from a lot of places, but the main thing for me that I recognized him from was in Mortal Kombat, he's... Johnny,
oh my
Cage's,
god,
he's
agents.
Johnny, he's Johnny Cage, not agent, his old master.
Yeah, who Shang Tsung takes over.
A tournament.
Oh
the
my
tournament.
God.
Yeah,
that
that's him.
Totally
yeah.
him.
Yes, I couldn't believe that. I blew my mind when I saw that. Master Boyd.
You see his face and you hear his voice, you're like, oh, there's something familiar about that.
But anyway, this guy says that, oh, well, it was choir practice. Was it 4 a.m.?
4 a.m.
Well, you know, we're busy, really busy. We've got a lot of people, you know, around here.
Roddy Piper just kind of keeps an eye on them the entire time. He borrows somebody's binoculars and he's watched them all night. And he decides to break in and see what's going on. And
he's
in
the church,
yeah. He sees that they have this thing set up where it sounds like they're choir practice, but the speakers are facing outward while they have these guys randomly having meetings.
Well, no, also he comes on what, to me, would say, oh, this is a meth lab.
Yeah.
Like, it's chemistry sets and everything.
A bunch of boxes.
You know, like, oh, so it's a meth lab. So, back in my alternate reality movie, I've got Roddy Piper and Keith David, two homeless men, bust a meth ring being run out of a church next to their modern-day Hooverville.
It's a pretty decent movie too, right?
Better than what we're watching so far.
Well, that's so far. That is what we're watching.
Yeah.
Like that's what this movie is certainly seems to be about at this point.
Because Roddy Piper, he watches them in the middle of the night. He sees these like helicopters swoop in, SWAT teams, cop cars all running, busting in the church. They bring out this blind preacher who caught Roddy Piper in the church earlier, saying, "Ooh, you got good work, hands."
So now my alternate reality guys are also dealing with police brutality.
Yeah.
The first 30 minutes of this film is like a conspiracy nuts wet dream.
Pretty
the helicopter's flying overhead, you've got the binoculars looking at the suspicious church.
Mixed with a whole lot of unemployment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Strife. Just lots of strife.
this is like Reaganomics, the movie. Like the rich get rich and the poor get poor.
Basically, yeah.
So they drag all these guys from the church
it's
out.
It's a somewhat gripping tale of homelessness in America.
Yeah. But as soon as they take,
they live, folks.
Some of the guys escape, and then some of the guys get captured.
Yeah. The homeless in America, they live.
Hey guys, they live.
They live.
Oh, they live.
Hey, yeah, guys,
right.
You know they live, right?
But it after they do the church. They have bulldozers literally just take out this
shantytown. Yeah.
They destroy shantytown. I'm like, no, where will the homeless sleep? And then Roddy Piper escapes with one of the guys. And
now we're once again, one thing that bugs me about this movie is that every once in a while, for filler, they just have Roddy Piper just walking around staring at things.
The city.
Hey, look at that.
With
hey, look at that graffiti.
Music.
Hey, look at that guy. Anyway.
The next day, Roddy Piper goes back to the church. And he's like, okay, what were they in here for? Everything's gone. Everything. But he finds this cubbyhole, and he breaks it open, and there's a box left in there. And he's like, calmly walks out, walks down the street, and
so
then
he
rips open the box.
He's figuring whatever's inside this box must be incredibly
drugs.
Because
he wants to sell them.
Yes, because the police have busted this place, destroyed all of Hooverville, in theory, because of what was in that church.
Yeah.
So whatever's inside this box must be massively important. Goes down an alley, opens up this box to find...
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses. Just these big 80s kind of Wayfarer-looking sunglasses.
Ray-Ban Wayfarer type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he takes one... Puts the rest in the trash can, and he's like, well, fuck.
He's like,
back
whatever.
To square one.
At least I got a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. So he's wearing sunglasses, walk down the street, and then he's like, oh, God! And
he looks down, and he notices that he's saying in black and white.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, he looks at that.
And he said, that's weird. Then he looks up at an advertisement and sees it just says, obey.
Obey.
That's weird. He takes the glasses down, and he sees the regular advertisement.
Like,
puts them back
up.
Puts them back on, and it says, obey again. That's weird. He starts looking at magazines. And the whole thing is just saying...
Marry and reproduce, conform, do not question authority.
Which I love for a few minutes. It looks like the advertisements they're showing tie into the theme they want you to really see. Like you see, get away to Jamaica. And he puts the sunglasses on and it says, marry and reproduce.
Yeah.
Go to Jamaica and bang your wife. That's what that part is.
Bring forth children into this world.
He sees, like, and he looks at a guy who's at the newsreader stand and sees he's an alien.
He looks up at this one guy who everyone he's run into so far has been, like, you know...
Human.
Well, like, yeah, and they're, like, construction workers or they're working at the newspaper stand,
yeah.
You know, blue-collar workers. Then he sees one guy walk up in a suit, looks at him with the glasses, and he sees alien. The alien look in this, we'll put pictures on the Facebook page, but they look basically like blue skeletons... With really big, beady eyes.
With a mix of the aliens from Mars Attacks.
Yes. And then he takes the glasses down and he sees that he looks like a human. Puts the glasses back on, he can see the aliens. So there are aliens on this world, and the only way you can see them, or the advertising they're putting out there, is to put on these magic sunglasses. Somehow. By the way, we are already 30 minutes into this movie because, yeah, those first 30 minutes...
Nothing happens!
They're boring, they're nothing. As soon as he puts the glasses on, the movie really actually starts.
Yeah, and it gets hilarious, which leads to our next scene.
Yes.
He's walking from, you know, store to store, looking, he's like, oh my god, and then he walks...
Isn't what you would do, you would walk around looking at everything.
And he's freaking out, he's like, oh, oh! And he walks through a grocery store, and he sees this old lady bump into him, and she's like, ugh! And she sees that she's an alien, and this is my... Top two favorite lines ever in a movie.
That's
this is one
amazing.
Of them.
You know, you look like your head fell on the cheese dip back in 1957. You're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
And he looks at him and says, you know, you look like your head fell to a cheese dip back in 1957. Roddy Piper looks to the left, sees another person. You're okay. Looks back at the old lady. This one, real fucking ugly.
It was so damn funny.
Does he call her formaldehyde face?
Yeah, that's what he said after that.
But this one, real fucking ugly.
I died laughing. When I first saw it, I died laughing the other day.
Say what you want about Roddy Piper's acting prowess. He sells that line.
He's not a great actor, but he's got comedic
sense. Well, this is a man who, like...
WWE footage of, like, wrestler on the beach.
Yeah, Piper's Pit. This guy smacks talk for a living.
He's got comedic timing, I have to say that.
And, after this, leads to him freaking out.
Because
then,
now, as soon as he says that she's really fucking ugly, she holds up her watch and says... One of them can see us.
Because he starts seeing, like, as soon as I put my glasses on, just like Eric Josh was explaining, she's got alien with the fell eye face. I take it off, she's normal. And they all start freaking out talking to their watches.
Oh, yeah, they're all, like, white male, Caucasian,
5'30". All of a sudden, all the aliens start turning towards him and looking at him, and that starts getting a little freaky.
Like a body snatch, is like, ooh, and start pointing at him.
Yeah. Great, now pitching Donald Sutherland.
So, Roddy Piper runs out of the store, runs out of alley, and two cops have stopped him. And they're like, hey, buddy, we don't want any problems here. We just want you to come with us. We'll go downtown. We'll make everything go away. They're aliens. They're going to kill him.
He has the glasses on. He can see that.
Yeah.
He starts talking about how ugly they are. And they say, well, you look just as bad to us.
And so he's like, okay, I'll come with you. And then he just beats up the cops and then shoots both of them dead. He's like, yeah, you die just like us. And so now Roddy Piper...
Roddy Piper has just killed
two cops.
Two cops. Sure, they're aliens, but that's going to cause problems.
His life is over. As he knows it, his life is over.
So how are you going to explain this? So now, Roddy Piper is walking down the street.
Oh, no, we should say, by the way, he keeps the cop's pistol, goes into the cop's car, and takes out a shotgun.
So this movie goes from being slow as molasses to now he's just said the best line ever.
He's
got sunglasses on, got a shotgun, has a hip holster
and
gun.
And is ready to dispense street justice.
Which leads to my...
Piper style.
Which leads to my second favorite line ever in a movie.
Well, because he's walking around and basically anytime he sees an alien, he's just blowing them away.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Well, to be fair, you're walking the streets of America now armed to the teeth with a pair of sunglasses on.
Yeah, but what does this look like to everyone else? A crazy person is just blowing people away indiscriminately.
So he does what you do when you're onto the teeth. You seek solace in a bank.
He walks into a bank, and as soon as he walks in, he almost looks like he regrets it, like a, oh crap, this is a bank. Well, as long as I'm here, I might as well commit. And he gives the line, Andrew, I'm going to let you say it.
Because it's in the Duke Nukem game, and it's the most quoted line from this movie besides obey, because that's mass market.
Sell it, Andrew.
He says... And after a long pause...
Because everybody at the bank is looking at him now, and he realizes
he's
through the sunglasses,
guns. Yeah.
At least half of the people in this bank are aliens.
He says, I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Very nice.
And then he sees a cop, goes, shotgun, bam! And then people start freaking out. He shoots cops.
He shoots this female teller in the face. And then, again, you can tell they're aliens, but to anyone else watching, they're like, Jesus Christ, this is a madman.
She has children at home. But then something happens.
She was one day away from retirement.
And I forget if this is addressed later in the movie, but one of the aliens looks at Piper and he, again, talks into his watch saying, he's in the bank. White male, 30s, and Piper, one of my favorite lines, says, Mama don't like no tattletales, points the shotgun at this guy. This guy turns a dial on his watch, and with a bloop,
gone.
Vanishes.
He teleports right the hell out of there.
We can talk about that later.
Which is a handy power for them to have.
So, Roddy Piper, he's just running everywhere. He's like, shit, I gotta get out of town. So he kidnaps this lady in a car.
He kidnaps Evil Inn.
Yeah, he kidnaps Evil Inn. He's like, take me out of here. Get like, we gotta go. And she's like, where? He's like, just drive. And then he's like, okay,
because
what's your name?
Because 45 minutes in, we need a potential, like, love interest or something?
Okay, love interest, nothing, because he says, let's go to your place. And she says, that's probably a bad idea. Which, I agree. This man with guns just got into your car and is demanding that you go to your place. In her mind, he's a rapist.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for a second, he almost believes it, because she's like, I'll do whatever you want. I'm not gonna scream. And so you find out that her name is Holly Roberts, or Holly, what is her name?
Holly. Who cares?
She has a last name. Her name's Holly. She works at a television studio, and this is after they've been talking for a while about what he's seeing. She thinks he's just batshit crazy, which I don't blame her.
No.
And so he stands up, he's like, hey, that still is going to the TV. We can get out of that, blah, 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 starts yelling. She takes a bottle, cracks her the back of his head.
Yeah. Oh, this scene is amazing.
Oh,
right by a window, she does a spin with the, like, full body spin with the bottle, cracks him over the head with the bottle, and then throws him out a goddamn window.
It's great because the camera, in a genius move, is pitched above their heads. So you see the total package. They circle around each other, and in one move, she grabs the bottle, spins around, catches him in the head, throws him out the window, and they're one floor up. He goes out the window, tumbles down a hill, and I want to believe, and I hope to God, he did his own stunts.
Yeah, this scene was a little boring, but when that moment came up, I literally yelled out, holy shit.
Because it comes out of nowhere.
From the rest of the time, like Josh and I were saying, as soon as he puts on the sunglasses, the movie gets interesting. And as soon as it starts getting boring, champagne bottle in the head, walls explode. Something happens
there
as soon as you're like, this is boring.
There are moments in this movie where you get bored. But give it like a minute,
and
you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
But Nada, his name, sorry, Rowdy Piper,
right,
has left his sunglasses because he fucking fell out a window. His glasses are
thrown out of a window.
His sunglasses are at her place, so he's trying to go back to where he stashed the sunglasses, and they're not there. But he sees a dump truck. He runs, gets the glasses, and has his box now. And he sees Frank, tries to convince him, hey man, blah, blah, blah. Frank's like, what the fuck? Get out of here. You just killed people.
Frank comes to give him the 1 week's worth of pay that...
Well, not yet. Because first he was walking around and first he sees...
Frank at the construction yard.
Yeah, but he also sees on a TV screen there's an alert out for his arrest now.
Oh, yes.
And the picture they're using is the nicest I've seen for someone wanted by the authorities since the bad guy from Firebirds. Like, this is a homeless man who works at a construction yard for a day. Where did they get this glossy photograph? Other than, obviously, the WWF.
I forgot to mention, when he's working in the construction yard, as soon as he gets a job, instantly, boom, no shirt, muscles, doing, like shoveling.
Well, that's what the ladies want, right? Muscle-bound freaks.
It's just so comical that instantly you're seeing Roddy Piper without a shirt
on. In your movie. That shirt's coming off.
That is true.
It's just funny.
So he goes back to where he stashed the glasses, but the trash can that he put them in are empty.
Yeah.
But then he sees a trash...
A garbage truck.
So he goes in there to get it, and I was digging through the garbage, and I'm thinking he looks like a crazy person. And then that's when something occurs to me. What if this movie, and I know it's not, but what if at this point this movie took a turn, and this movie was actually about a person who had actually gone crazy and only thinks he has magic sunglasses?
I thought about
and
that.
And is just blowing away people he thinks are aliens.
He's killing cops. He's killing bankers who are 2 days to retirement.
Because at this point in the movie, that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
It's possible that was just a meth lab. In the church, and he sees these glasses, and he assumes they must be important.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a psychological break, and now he sees aliens everywhere.
It's kind of like Total Recall, like guessing at which point in the film Arnold actually is he or isn't he on
now,
Mars.
Spoiler alert: that is not what this movie is about.
No.
But I kind of wish it was.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of an interesting. Wait, what?
Yeah. But at that point, Frank does walk up. It's like, here's your 1 week's pay. And Roddy Piper starts talking
sense
to him.
And he literally throws the money from like 6 feet away.
In the box.
Lands in the box!
That was a good throw. Because Roddy did get the box with the sunglasses out. So he's got like one pair of sunglasses.
And he's got a couple with him.
And all he wants is for Frank to put on the sunglasses so he can have an ally.
Keith David's walking over to him. And Roddy goes to punch him right in the balls. And then Keith David grabs his hand and says, whoa, playing dirty, aren't you? And then he punches him in the face. And then later on, it seems that meant the hitting people in the balls rules is off. Because at one point, Keith David's above Roddy Piper and is just kneeing him in the balls over and over again.
Over the part where Piper
Roddy
has his finishing move on Keith David.
My point is, though, at the end of this, Roddy Piper is sterile. He is never having children. His testicles have been atomized.
I remember Mark
by
had,
the sheer power of Keith David's knee.
Mark had a DVD of best fights in Universal movies, and this was on that, or not Universal, was it? I don't know. Anyway,
whatever.
A best fight movies, fight scenes, and this was on that DVD.
In its entirety.
Yeah.
They're throwing each other around, banging their head into the concrete, grabbing the head and slamming it, kicking each other. This fight is epic.
Well, there's no music here, there's no like quick cuts, like, and I want to believe that Piper was like, dude, I do this for a living. Go ahead and just lay into me.
It was so damn funny. And like, yeah, I love this fight.
They were going to shoot a whole bunch and edit it, but John Carpenter was like, it's too good.
Oh,
so
really?
He kept it in its entirety. Yeah. How can you cut a scene that a guy does literally for a living, and the other guy is just really good at taking it and dishing it back out?
Keith David even does his own little wrestling finishing move. He lifts him up and slams him on the ground.
Oh, he totally rock bottoms him.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. See, at the end of it, they are both beat to hell. Roddy Piper
bruised,
has, like,
broken, bloody,
has practically knocked out Frank, and he puts the glasses on. He's like, look! Look at the sign! They're different! And he's like, ooh! And he freaks out, too!
Which is just... I want Keith David to be like, well, this was pointless. Sorry about that.
He's like, we're talking about that.
We should get ourselves to a hospital!
But no.
Yeah, and that's the one where he could have put the glasses on and said that nothing looks different, buddy. And then Roddy Piper, in a insane rage, loses it. You're one of them too, and just breaks his neck. Oh god, I killed him. Oh god, now what?
He looks at Mary, sees he's one of them, cracks his own neck and kills himself.
It would have been an hour long movie, but it would have been great.
Yeah. But after this, they go to a hotel now so they can talk about what they should be doing. So they decide to get drunk, and they're talking about, like, oh my god, how long have we seen this?
At the end of that fight, though, there's one line that we cannot skip over. When he puts the glasses on Keith David's face and he sees everything that's different, he's like, what? What's happening? And Roddy Piper says,
brother, life's a bitch. She's back in heat.
I'm like, what? What does that even mean?
I mean, I read somewhere that Roddy Piper actually improv the bubblegum line. I'm guessing after that, Carpenter was just like, go ahead, make up your own one-liners. And this started coming out.
It's gold, Roddy Piper. Just solid gold. And now, they check into this hotel, and really they need to be in, like, top physical condition to take on an alien empire. It's really too bad they just kicked the shit out of each other for 10 minutes.
But they run into...
They're battle-hardened, Josh.
They run into Johnny Cage's protege, and his master, who tells them... Well, he notices that they're both wearing the sunglasses and being kind of weird.
Yeah, they're both wearing sunglasses, looking at each other with the... Hey, you like Ray-Bans too? Yeah. All right.
He's like, I knew you were one of us. We're meeting tonight at 11 o'clock. We'll be at this meeting here. Be there.
And
he's
like, that was an alien resistance.
By the way, real quick, that is a spot on impersonation. I might be making fun. I've been working on that one this morning, and I couldn't come up with anything that good.
But yeah, they tell us we're going to meet there, talk about what we're going to do.
But
don't be followed.
Yeah, but so there, but also we're gifted a scene of Roddy Piper and Keith David sitting there in the hotel room, and you get a little bit of Roddy Piper's backstory in this, and it's
creepy.
It's creepy and weird, but also it's one of those, oh god, Roddy Piper's acting. Guys, Roddy Piper's trying to act now.
Fast forward.
Where's his handler?
A long time ago, things were different, man. My old daddy took me down to the river, kicked my ass, told me about the power and the glory. I was saved. He changed when I was little. Turned me and started tearing it. So I ran away when I was 13.
Yeah. They go to the meeting. If you're going to think you're going to a meeting looking for aliens and whatnot, you think the guy who's guarding the meeting would be wearing sunglasses. Nope, it's a biker gang guy with a shotgun.
That's a good point. Why is that guy wearing sunglasses?
You got glasses on. You're good. Come on.
The first line of defense should be, is that guy an alien?
Yeah. Oh, actually, just realized he could have had the contacts.
All right. So they get inside this place, and they say, oh, you don't need those glasses here. We're all humans here. It's just what an alien would say. Fine. And then she gives him these contact...
What they would say.
She gives him these contact lenses and says, just came in. Now you won't need the glasses anymore. And so then you're treated to what all action scenes need, a good shot of our hero and his Keith David popping contact lenses into their eyes.
Which, is that actually a line? These just came in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where are these being manufactured?
I have no idea.
Science. So they're talking about, we're going to meet here. I found one of their watches. This is how they communicate to each other. But you ever seen them transform? They've moved to different places.
Teleport.
I haven't figured out how to use it yet. But here, take it.
It hasn't been field tested yet.
This could be anything.
World.
Honestly, you might use this wrong and have all of your atoms could reverse instantly like we crossed the streams. Hey, you want it? You take it. Poke around for a while.
Josh, you mean total protonic reversal? Nerd!
So Frank's got this teleportation nuke watch.
Yes.
Walking around, and then they start talking about, hey, we gotta figure out how to attack. Maybe one of the news stations has it.
And the head of this place has this line, the world needs a wake-up call. We're gonna phone it in. I don't think the second part of that means what you think it means. We're going to phone it in. So we're going to half-ass this thing. Done and done.
But Holly walks in from earlier.
I'm sorry. Evelyn. These one-liners just reminds me of Mystery Men when William H. Macy says, we got a date with Destiny. And it looks like she's ordered the lobster.
Yes, basically.
But Holly walks in, and that brings up a question. First of all, how did she find this location? Did the guy find her too?
And you see, and my first thought was, oh, wait, she knows about this stuff?
Well, the glasses.
Then why did she give him shit? And then she's like, oh, I just found out. Oh, so she did put on the glasses? So basically, any time that Roddy Piper is freaking out and says, just put on the glasses, if one, just one person humored him for a second, everything would be fine.
So yeah, sorry about that whole bottle to the head out the window thing.
First time Roddy Piper's like, please put on these glasses. He gets a bottle to the head and thrown out a window. The second time, Frank, my friend, please put on these glasses. They kick the shit out of each other for 10 minutes. After that, so we try to get people to wear these glasses? Roddy Piper, nah, man. Nah.
Anybody but me, brother.
Well, okay.
That ends poorly every time.
In Evelyn's defense, if some crazy guy if some guy just carjacked me.
The first time those words have ever been uttered.
If some guy just carjacked me, starts rambling, says, put on the glasses, I'm not either going to listen or I'll do it playing, don't shoot me. So she tells him, actually, I work at a news station. It's fine from there, or it doesn't have a clear signal. And just as I'm thinking, well, this scene's getting kind of bored. Boom! Explosion happens.
Boom! Your movie's here!
Yeah. So
and we're past the hour mark!
These cops have busted in. And by the way, why did every time the cops walk around, flares are being dropped around them? Did that ever get referenced any reason?
I don't know, because it looks cool.
Okay.
Because 80s and color.
Pretty much everybody's dead now. Everyone is dead.
That's just like, hey, good thing we found the resistance. Too bad they're all dead.
This does lead to a pretty legit shootout in the alleyway, though.
Yeah, it's very much like a first-person shooter at this point, where Roddy Piper and Frank are going down the alley shooting the cops.
Then they're managing to only shoot the cops that are aliens.
Yes.
They come across one cop at one point, or this is earlier, I guess, who is not an alien. He says, just put down the gun.
Beat the, what did it say?
Beat the pavement or something like that, and he runs.
Yeah, he runs like a little kid. But in the middle of the shootout,
and
Frank's watch, the one he got given earlier, starts malfunctioning. It's like, oh, you malfunction. And the transporter opens up next to them, and it's like, please return.
Which that one was weird. It doesn't even really teleport them.
No.
It opens up a literal hole in the ground.
Literal hole in their plots. And it's like, jump in. And so Frank and Roddy Piper jump in this hole, and I guess they're presumed dead by these aliens. Even though there's no body, they're presumed dead.
I guess we vaporized them.
High five!
Yay team?
It's Miller time!
Yay team. All right, let's do it.
I love this town!
Vaporize. That can happen? A body can just vaporize? Oh, yeah, totally, sir.
Did you just quote The Rock?
I did.
Bringing us back to Nicolas Cage?
Yes. So then they get down into they find themselves in these, like, stone corridors in this building where, I don't know if you guys noticed this, they see a soldier, and he's holding something. Did you catch what this soldier was holding?
I assumed a gun.
It's a PKE meter from Ghostbusters.
Are you serious?
He's straight up holding a PKE meter. It's a little thing. The little glowy sticks are coming up the side. And they're reading it. And throughout the rest of this movie, every once in a while you'll see a soldier with a goddamn PKE meter.
I didn't notice that.
It's the weirdest thing. And it's not even like that just looks similar. No, I'm 100% sure that is a prop from Ghostbusters.
You see Venkman in the background.
I am positive.
Where'd you get this, sir? Spangler Industries, sir.
I guarantee they're like, well, we need him to hold something to communicate. Well, we still got all those Ghostbusters props. A proton pack would be a bit much, but, hey.
So they're wondering either where are they? Are they on a different planet, space? Are they underneath the city? And then they walk in. Oh, keep in mind, these guys look homeless. They're wearing jeans, torn up shirts, and they walk into a big banquet hall that has all these nice people dressed up. And I'm thinking, they're going to be found out, they're going to look like that, and the shoot's going to happen. But no, the guy from earlier in the movie who was in Shantytown sees them. He's not a homeless guy, actually. And he's like some rich guy, and he's like, hey, I see you, come around. And it's like, oh, and they look just as confused.
Because there's this whole thing about how anytime that you think that someone is starting to figure out who's controlling everything, and these aliens are apparently controlling the entire world, that you'll either be killed, or if they think they can use you, they promote you, you become a rich person, and then you're fitting into the society that the aliens, for whatever reason, are keeping propped up.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to this guy. He got bumped up, and so now he's there in a tux, and everyone is there. It's like this big banquet hall.
Yeah.
This one guy's up front. Half the people are aliens, the other half are humans.
All rich.
Yeah, and so...
Because these aliens are pretty much like... they're pretty much telling you that the ups up in the world are all aliens, and they're all in cahoots with each other, and we're just some drone to do what they tell us to do.
But if you're lucky, and everyone inside this room is lucky, you're part of the ruling elite class who gets to make money off of this.
And this guy decides to give Roddy Piper and Frank, the Grand Tour.
That was the weirdest thing. Oh, you guys are bumped up too. I mean, you know, you could have worn better clothes.
Outfits, yeah.
not now that you're able to. But anyway, whatever. Let me show you the entire aliens' plan, their facilities, and
where a satellite is to
all,
control everything,
and all of their weaknesses.
And by the way, that satellite dish on the roof, you don't want to blow that up. That'll
like,
blow the whole works.
This guy is far too trusting. Far too trusting.
And right at the end of their tour of showing them literally everything, the transportation devices and all
that
this
teleports
stuff,
them back to their home world in the Andromeda system, which is a quick blinking and miss it name drop. Oh,
yeah.
They're from some other place. Anyway.
The Andromeda system.
They go into
as long as Kevin Sorbo doesn't show up, we're fine.
I get that reference.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. So they go to the new studio, and it's like, yeah, they're preaching the whole what we want them to do, and the guards are watching. And Roddy Piper's like, hey, can I get in there? Because he wants to get to the roof and destroy the satellite. And he's like, yeah, I know them. They're my friends. Hey, guys, can we get the grand tour? Let me see some ID cards.
Yeah,
and,
sure thing. And then
Roddy Piper just takes out his gun
and blows them away.
And
I'm a lead farmer.
And so they're buying this like bulletproof, soundproof glass that so the people in the studio can't see
or
that,
hear that someone just got blown up.
Exactly.
Or shot.
But they do it anyways. More army soldiers guy come in, aliens, and they blow up this.
So now they're in a new studio, just once again, just randomly, indiscriminately blowing people away, as far as everyone there is concerned.
Exactly.
Downright terrifying, to be honest. So they're looking around trying to find
the roof, or Evil Lynn. Because there's only three survivors of this entire
thing. At least one of my favorite shots of the movie, in where they're running through like an office, and Roddy Piper, brandishing an AK-47, stops a pregnant woman and says, do you know Holly? And she's like,
Think fast, do you know her?
Do you know Holly? She's the director of something. Do you know Holly? You have an AK. Don't wave that thing around a pregnant woman. Come on now.
I love how he literally says she's the something of something. Like he forgot
she's
his line.
She's the director of marketing something. I don't know. She's got the crazy eyes. She's got the crazy eyes.
So the next couple minutes, they're just running down hallways shooting. Right down empty hallways shooting. And then they finally find Holly.
Who just literally comes around the corner like she just went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Hey,
what's up, guys?
Are you guys here today? That's cool. You guys are here for Taco Tuesday. You know what? That's pretty
Taco
sweet.
Taco Tuesday.
Good timing.
I love Taco Tuesday. So they finally make it up to the roof.
Well, they're going up the stairs.
Well, see, right before they walk out onto the roof, Roddy Piper runs out, and Holly holds on to Frank. Frank looks back. Holly goes, boom, shoots him in the head. It cuts away.
Frank gets done dirty.
I can't believe they just killed Keith David out of nowhere.
And at that moment, you're like, oh, Holly's been evil this entire time. That's why she didn't put on the glasses, didn't trust him.
But then you kill Keith David right here. Keith David
so
is so great.
Evelyn is still quite evil.
Bum, bum, bum.
And so Roddy Piper's on the roof. He's like, Frank, Holly, come out here.
No, Frank, Holly, are you guys clear? And she says, I am.
And you should be too.
Yeah.
Or are you?
Are you, yeah. And turns around and she's holding the gun up to him. He says, drop the gun. You can't win. And then a helicopter's coming in. Drop the gun. So he puts down the gun.
And he has one hidden in his sleeve.
A little derringer.
And he pulls it out, shoots Holly. Keep in mind, this is the only technically human he shot in the entire film.
And she just slowly falls back like a plank of wood.
Yeah, because she's evil.
Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention what the satellite actually does.
What the satellite is doing
is it's masking the advertisements, and it's masking that the thing that they can see through with their sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
This satellite is controlling all that.
Essentially, the satellite's taken out. The field comes down, and you can see the aliens.
So he goes, and he goes to shoot, he points the gun against the satellite, and you can see the helicopter guys getting up their guns. He's gonna die if he shoots it, and he says,
Fuck it.
Shoots him, and then they shoot him.
Yeah.
And so the thing explodes, and so the satellite's coming down, he's lying on the ground having been shot, he looks over at the helicopter, and flips him the bird.
Yeah.
So as far as good guy deaths, dropping the F-bomb and flipping off the guys who just killed him,
halfway decent.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid.
I gotta say. And then so you're treated this montage all the newscasters, everyone can now see their aliens. Any movie star, you can see their aliens. And then out of nowhere?
Out of absolutely nowhere.
And you've seen some movies that end abruptly and weird. This movie pretty much tops the cake.
Yeah, out of absolutely nowhere, you see this topless woman
having the most boring sex of her entire
life. Slowly riding this guy
slowly,
and looking up
naked,
and
completely naked.
And you're like, oh, I I guess we can throw some boobs in here. I don't know where this came from. And then she looks down and sees the guy she's having sex with is an alien who says,
"Hey, what's wrong, baby?
Hey, baby, what's wrong?
Hey, baby, what's wrong?"
Credits.
Cut the credits.
Cut the credits. I'm like, what? That's one way to end the movie, I guess.
And that's pretty much ending our shortest podcast ever. But
wow, we somehow topped Firebirds for
there was
briefness.
I mean, it's a, yeah, it's...
This movie is just, I mean, there's not a lot to the movie for a long time, and then it's pretty much redundant. Alien, shoot, funny line. Alien, shoot, funny line.
Yeah, the first half hour is really boring, but once he puts those sunglasses on, it picks up and doesn't really let go for a while.
It's a hilarious, great...
Until the end.
It's a
go for broke until the end, pretty much.
I've talked about B-movies before, like, you know, B-action, crazy horror movies. This is pretty up there with, like, it's a bad movie, but it made a lot of money at in total.
Yeah. How much?
It cost like $4 million, and it made over $13 million. So in $80, that's really good.
That's Reagan money.
That, like,
that's
yeah.
Reagan money. Reaganomics money.
Literally Reaganomics money. This is your god. That's what it said on the money in the movie.
Just that's right. When he puts the glasses on and looks at money, it says this is your god.
Yeah. I thought
so. Yeah, that's the movie.
Josh, would you recommend it to anybody?
Oh, this is a strong recommend from me. This is a strong recommend to me. You have to track this movie down. It's unfortunately not on Netflix or anything like that.
It's on Blu-ray now and DVD, so
check it out. It is just a hoot. Like I said, the first half hour is slow, but when it's fun, it is at the top of its game. I highly recommend They Live.
Mark?
Agreed. Strong, strong recommend. On the strength of that epic fist fight alone... You should watch this movie.
The fight just keeps... I can't believe how long that fight goes.
It's long to the point of absurdity.
It is a brutal just street brawl.
But outside of that, I mean, it's funny as hell. You're in and out in like 90 minutes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Roddy Piper, I mean, it's cliche to say that wrestlers can't act. I think he does just fine in this movie, and Josh will disagree with me.
He has a good sense of comedic timing, but anytime they ask him to do drama, which
emote.
Is very rare in the movie, but whenever they try, it just... His eyes go dead, and he just reads the lines.
Well, because of this, Josh will disagree with me, but I think that if Kurt Russell wasn't available, I think Roddy Piper could have made a decent Jack Burton in Big Trouble in Little China.
Disagree.
So yeah, definite strong recommend. Seek this movie out. It just got a recent Blu-ray release from Shout Factory. That's actually, it looks and sounds amazing. So yeah, track that down.
Andrew?
I would strongly recommend it. I'd recommend almost anything. I'm easy to please. This movie is just what they said. It's fun. Watch it with your friends. It's even better that way. Make a drinking game. Just be like, if somebody says a one-liner, take a shot. You'll be gone. It's just a fun, fun movie.
Anytime one person in the room says, "Oh God, the fight's still going," I'll take a shot.
This movie, I mean, what's funny is that this movie was written, John Carpenter only wanted... Roddy Piper to play this character. So
he's a big wrestling fan, John Carpenter.
It was written for him. So, great in that aspect, he did a fine job. And it's just one of those movies that I'd love to watch on a rainy afternoon with some friends. Definitely recommend it. Hilarious, great movie. So, we're still continuing on our month of Halloween movies.
And this one, it was sort of a horror movie.
Yes, it's borderline.
But even more than that, it was a movie we just really, really, really wanted to do. There's some horror moments here and there, and when they first start seeing those aliens, it does get pretty freaky.
Yeah.
But next week we're doing a more kind of...
Literal horror, like horror.
Straightforward horror.
Straightforward
film.
Horror movie.
Yeah. And
so.
Mark will be helping that one. So Mark, would you love to give us a quote or hint of next episode?
It's kind of a vague hint, but I will say that it is the fourth installment in a popular horror franchise.
Oh, that could be anything.
Well, it could be...
Could be
three or four come to mind? Well, no. Popular.
Oh, yeah. think of all the Halloween movies. I think of anything, those get, like Halloween genre movies, get the most sequels out of anything ever.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, I think still holds the record for most horror.
You meant Halloween.
I meant like
Halloween genre.
Not Halloween to Halloween.
Okay.
Movies.
Well, there's some two possibilities that we just accidentally threw out there, but.
It's not them!
And there leaves one more.
No, there's plenty of the horror franchises.
Anyway, so yeah.
I just want to tell you what it is.
No, so anyway, look us up on Facebook. We're once again, Oh Brother, Did We Watch That? Where on the we put out new episodes every 2 weeks. On the off week, we do reveal what the next movie will be.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Twitter at Oh Brother Podcast, letter O Brother Podcast. We're also right into our mailbox. At didwewatchthat@gmail.com.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes. That way you don't even have to check for new updates.
Leave us a review on iTunes. It helps the profile of the show.
And if you have any recommendations, please let us know. We have seen the few that come in. We'll get there. But we saw themed month, so we're attacking that first. We will take references in. So you guys are listening to us.
Yeah,
so.
But not all recommendations. I have no desire to watch Freddy Got Fingered. Sorry, guys.
No. Also,
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
No, don't even go there.
No, Tom Green.
But so until
I was in middle school, I think.
Until next time, I'm Josh.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Mark.
Thanks for listening.
Stop the things you do. Yeah.